Welcome back to ESPN Daily's special series on Pardon the Interruption. It's the sports show that blew up the television universe, and it is 20 years old this month. And if you haven't listened to episode one, we highly recommend that you go and do that. You can find it a little earlier in our feed. But we left off with the very first day that PTI went on the air. It was October 22nd, 2001. It was the day Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser made their first impression on America as TV co-hosts, which was about 20 years after they made their first impressions on each other.
Tony didn't talk to people. He didn't know. He didn't know me. So, no. He had to talk to me later because we wound up at the same events having to carve up. I was the sidebar guy. I was the young guy. Tony was writing the column. Don't touch that angle. You don't talk to Reggie Jackson. I write the Reggie Jackson column. You get the, you know, the setup man in the seventh inning who got bombed after two hitters.
Loved him. Loved him right away. Big. You know, he came in. I'm 10 years older than him. I'd already been doing this for a while. He was a student at Northwestern, maybe on summer break when he first came to the post. I think he was hired as an intern. He came in and he was big and he was pretty loud. And I immediately loved him. Started making fun of him right away. In the things that I would write, I would mention his name. I would call him that Toddlin Town, Wilbon, because of the Chicago references all the time, because he still would rather be in Chicago, except maybe in the winter, which only lasts 8 months a year. He still would probably be in Chicago than any place on earth.
Yes, this is how Tony demonstrates affection. If he likes you, if he really likes you, then he makes fun of you. In locker rooms, in the newsroom, and in the permanent record of the Washington Post itself. So, Tony started calling Wilbon Mike that Toddlin Town Wilbon, the nickname coming from that old Sinatra song.
Chicago, Chicago, that Toddlin Town. Chicago, Chicago. I will show you.
And Tony would always write about how you could find Mike collecting spare change to, like, help renegotiate Neil Anderson's contract, or you'd see him eating kielbasa at Ditka's while studying the Cubs spring training roster, or buddying up with Michael Jordan over on Michigan Avenue. But underneath all of it, Tony also had this other motive. He wanted to make that kid from that Toddlin Town an even bigger deal.
I got to think the only reason I got a chance to talk to Kareem and have him talk to actually look and talk to me back when Kareem was really aloof was Tony. That was it. Reggie Jackson, I know it was. Reggie was routine. Reggie Jackson would walk up to people and say, nice to meet you. I'm never talking to you. And I walked up to him. I was terrified. And he would say, sit down. How's Tony? Really? So, yeah. So I benefited from Julius Erving, from Reggie Jackson, from Kareem, from Rick Barry, from, I mean, God, so many people who were of Tony's, Nolan Ryan, other baseball people who were of the 60s and 70s, of the 70s. Yeah, I got to benefit Bill Walton from Tony. Tony understood. He understood better than any editor, better than anybody reading the newspaper, better than anybody writing in it, that he could create this dynamic of two people, one black, one white, one 10 years older than the other one, one Jewish, one Catholic, although I'm not Catholic, I'm a product of Catholic education, one from the Midwest, one from New York. He could play all these, you know, apparent contradictions and make it seem like we were opposites in every way, which we weren't. But for entertainment purposes, my God, it worked. It was all Tony. It's 100% Tony.
What three words, Tony, would you use to describe Wilbon?
I love him. Those are my words. I love him. We still call each other all the time. Text each other, call each other. He gets annoyed at me that I don't stay up late enough to watch all the sports that he watches. And if he watches all these sports, then in a Darwinian way, he should have one giant eye in the middle of his forehead because he watches everything all the time.
What three words do you think Mike would use to describe you?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. Those would be the three. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, if you were to describe Tony in three words, what words are you picking?
It could be three different words. It doesn't need to be like one sentence and one train of thought. I mean, you cannot talk about Tony without talking about his neuroses. You can't talk about Tony without talking about his generosity of spirit. And you can't talk about Tony without talking about sort of the combination of intellect and humor. So to me, those are three concepts. They're very different. They all cross each other.
It should be no surprise, by the way, that Tony absolutely nailed his three-word target in that answer precisely. And Mike, very sweetly, just ran totally through that bell. But the point here is that Tony and Mike did more than just respect each other. They trusted each other. They were sparring partners, but they genuinely trusted each other. What they really wanted, actually, was a referee.
Anthony Joseph, stat boy, world be free, part of the interruption reality. I'm Tony Reale. I was the researcher, and I am always stat boy for part of the interruption.
Tony Reale is the most sunny human being I know and the host of Around the Horn, but he was PTI's original and only stat boy.
I was interviewing for the job in October. It was a job of researcher. Once again, the job I interviewed for was not on air. It was to provide the information and stats to the two hosts, Tony and Mike, and I was more than happy to do that. And I didn't know a lot about sports. How do you become stat boy? You go through your high school life without going on any dates. And you're staying at home reading the sports encyclopedia. And I remember after I got the job, first thing I did is I went to Barnes & Noble's and they gave me probably the show credit card. And I bought books upon books. And we had a library there for quite some time. And then like a year later, I'm like, oh, I needed was the internet. I didn't need books, you know. That's where we were in 2001.
Nobody listened to a thing Tony and I said about the show except for it was Tony's idea to have Tony Reale, to have a Tony Reale-like character correct our flaws, our mistakes, our omissions at the end of the day. That was it. They didn't listen to anything else we said, and that's probably a good thing.
So instead of being some behind-the-scenes researcher, this hidden fact whisperer of sorts, PTI chose to lean in again to radical transparency, like they did with the rundown on the right side of the screen and the clock and the bell at the end of every topic. Statboy was not going to be hidden away from the audience. He wasn't going to be silently cleaning up Tony and Mike's messes in the dark. Everyone realized that sunlight would be the best disinfectant.
Time to find out we messed up, Reale.
How could you not have heard this, Wolf? Don't you got ears in your building? This is the mute button from Around the Horn. I'm putting it in this box. I'm FedExing it right now to San Antonio. I'm not very good at taping.
Nice job.
Yes, we got to give the mute button there. All right. Wolfbon, heat down 01.
Wait, you're saying that the one thing that they listened to you about was that you need someone
to correct our
to
errors.
Correct
no,
what
we
errors.
Well, we just said this is what a newspaper does. The next day on page 2 or whatever it is, you correct your own
errors.
That's right. You're self-correcting.
You're accountable.
You're accountable. We didn't think television was accountable. So we wanted this feature. We wanted this safeguard, the safety net. And they said, okay.
Reale, what did we mess up?
Be happy for professional reasons. You guys, we're clean-ish today. Dolphins release David Garrard. Schefter reporting Marshawn Lynch not certain for Sunday. Back spasms. Tone. Connor's famous run, his last chance power drive. You were there at the Open, but it was 1991, not 93.
I lose track of years.
You have to eat the crow that is served to you. You have to do it or nobody will trust you.
What was my first correction? Tony famously hates soccer, and I love soccer, you know? So I knew I wanted to hit him on that hard on the first show.
As for you, Tony, if you want to pawn yourself off as a soccer guru, let's call the soccer field or a soccer pitch, so, not a soccer court.
Did I call it a court?
Yeah, maybe your boy Bob Lee can teach you a few lessons about that.
That's a soccer court? Yeah.
Tony, it's a soccer pitch. And he would roll his eyes whenever he'd say, every trip up and down the field is a novella to you people, you know? I mean, he hates soccer so much. I loved needling him on that. And, and I probably corrected him on soccer, 5,000 times in my 15 years. Nobody has stolen the errors and omissions segment. And I take that personally. The idea that the two hosts would be corrected at the end of the show is brilliant to me. They're able to allow themselves to say, oh yeah, you know what? I got carried away in the debate. All right, you got me. Yeah, you got me. Nobody's stolen that. And I think TV would be a lot better if the politics shows, for one, had somebody correcting the mistakes at the end. That's for sure.
Statboy's residency lasted 13 years, until 2014, when Staten Island's own Tony Reale left D.C. and came back home to New York, where he could now host Around the Horn. But a remote, out-of-office Statboy, that, we can all admit, it just wouldn't have been the same. So the guys started doing their own corrections.
I miss Reale. I miss having him on the show. I thought he provided a great service. Now we do that ourselves. You know, it's written in. We made a mistake. It's not the same. You know, it's important that a third party tell you made a mistake. It's important. It's important that you stand there and get a little sheepish about the dopey thing you just said. And you can only do that when there is a third party.
Throughout all the time when I was doing Around the Horn and Stat Boy, they stopped calling me Stat Boy. I didn't ask for that. Once a Stat Boy, always a Stat Boy. It's like being a Marine. Being an Olympian. I'm still Stat Boy. Call me Stat Boy. But they started calling me Anthony Joseph, World Be Free Reale, or whatever it was, because they wanted me to grow.
Time for the game that will never be the same after today, Odds Makers. And here is our host, Anthony Joseph. It's your last game, so don't blow it,
Reale. It's his last one. It's his last game.
You guys get a hold of your life.
That last day was very tough. I cry over everything, so that's not a measure of how difficult it was for me. But I remember hearing my voice outside of my body saying, thank you, guys. I owe my whole career to you.
But speaking of out-of-body experiences, coming up, it is time to meet just a few of the people who have been delusional enough to keep those seats warm for Tony and Mike.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So it's worth noting that the entire reason I've been playing the role of PTI's podcast genealogist for you here is because of my experience sitting in Mike Wilbon's chair.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre, and I'm a little tired of you pretending, Tony, not knowing who I am all the time.
Tony Kornheiser, I'm just having a little fun with you.
Name?
Pablo.
Come on.
See how
Tracy,
we
does Tracy, does Tracy know?
I have hosted PTI 59 times at last check. And yes, pretty much all of those appearances are due to the basic fact that Tony and Mike, those two-decade titans of sports television, do have contractually guaranteed vacation time. But I must admit, every single time I fill in on the show, even now in 2021, it still feels kind of like this lucid dream. I mean, I love it pretty much more than anything else I do, but it is an almost hallucinogenic 30 minutes. It's delightful, but delightful like driving someone else's meticulously engineered sports car might be. It's the speed, it's the ground you cover, the sheer visibility, and also this inescapable, creeping fear that you're not really supposed to be there.
The first time I watched PT, I was a little distracted and mesmerized by the set and all the stuff that was going on. I had never seen another show like that that had that authentic interaction among others.
Jackie McMullen is the first female sports writer to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. She wrote for the Boston Globe and ESPN and hosted PTI 14 times.
I have no idea when I first appeared on the show. I just know that when they asked me to do it, I didn't sleep all night the night before because I knew it was the most important television show on our network. And I couldn't believe I was going to get a chance to be on it.
Jackie's first time hosting PTI was a day in January 2003. She sat across from a familiar face.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Jackie McMullen in for Michael Wilbon. Hey, Tony, does Wilbon only work when he feels like it?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Wilbon's working right now. Sitting by a pool in Phoenix, working on a couple of Kia Royales in his tan line. Picture that, America.
Jackie had been going toe-to-toe with Tony since the 80s on a show called The Sports Reporters.
I don't think we should belittle what Michael Jordan has done. He has taken his game and raised it more levels than anyone could have expected. He's doing incredible things.
Magic has five rings. Michael Jordan so far doesn't have any.
Now, that's a common argument, but I think we've got to look at what Magic is working with and what Michael is working with. Let's be fair. If Michael Jordan was on
this was different.
Mike was kind of like the congenial uncle that put his arm around you and slipped you a $20 bill. You know, Tony comes in, he's in a bundle of nerves, and then he's like, should I be? And you make yourself say, should I be nervous? Am I not prepared? Because how could he be like this? He did this show every day. Why did it feel so frenetic? But then the lights would go on, and again, spectacular. He was just so smart.
And we start with the final and only truly important bowl game, tonight's Fiesta Bowl game for the national championship between Miami and Ohio State. And Jackie, with all the storm and drong about Maurice Claret, it seems to have gone unnoticed that Miami is working on a 34-game winning streak and going for its second straight national championship. So let's cut to the chase. Do you think Miami's going to win? If so, by how many?
Miami's going to win this game, and they're probably going to win by around 2 touchdowns, because how do you stop this group? And while we're talking about...
Well, I remember one of the first times I was going to host PTI. Of course, you fly into D.C., and they tell you to be there at 10, and I was there at 8:30 or whatever time. I don't know. I was just so... I wanted to make sure I did the show justice. You know, in retrospect, I overstudied for the test, right? Because the whole reason I was on the show was because I had opinions about these topics, and yes, I should know the history of them, but, you know, they wanted my opinion on it. So I think I just took it very, very seriously. And when the light went on, I remember Mike telling me once, after I had done the show a couple times, he said, always pretend like it's live. Don't ever fall back on the fact that you have a chance to do it again. And I thought that was great advice.
Other journalists have done the show so many times that it's become a defining part of their identity.
Phil and Frank, they call me, which is a good way of telling me you're only a fill-in. Make sure you know that. But I'm okay with it. I got to be honest.
Phil and Frank Isola worked for decades as a newspaper sports columnist, making his name covering the NBA for the New York Daily News. He's now hosted PTI over 150 times.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony has the day off, so I am joined by one of my great friends in the business.
I'm Frank Isola. Great friend? The first time you've had me on.
I thought you were unavailable.
And I got to be honest with you. I cannot tell you how many times, even in other countries, where I've walked down the street and someone will come up to me, and that's what they'll call me, Phil and Frank. All because of PTI. And when I told the producers that, they apologized to me. I said, believe me, it's fine. It's fine. I have no problem, you know, having some type of, you know, association with the show.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony's off. And we need someone who can talk about the NBA Finals, the Euros, Wimbledon. Where should we turn?
Let them know.
He brought your own crew? I mean, what is this now? play fill in the blank with fill in Frank. See what we did there?
But with great power comes great responsibility, no matter how temporary.
And sometimes 10 people that would come and watch, and there is no worse feeling than if you're co-hosting with either Mike or Tony, and you walk out there, and you could see the looks on their faces. They're saying, who's this guy? I want Mike and Tony to be there. So the whole time you're sitting there thinking, you know what, it's bad enough I got to fill in for one of these guys. I have a live studio audience here thinking the same thing. I can't wait to meet Michael Wilbon after the show. I'm not so sure I want to meet that guy.
I can relate. But, man, there is something about filling in for Tony or Mike that is uniquely intoxicating, even for the veterans of live TV.
I am Michelle Tafoya, and I am NBC's sideline reporter for Sunday Night Football.
Michelle Tafoya has hosted PTI 9 times.
Welcome to PTI. I'm Michelle Tafoya, joined by Dan Levitard of the Miami Herald. We're your good hands for
the day. I loved filling in on Pardon the Interruption. And if I did it 9 times, I'm very excited to hear that. I thought it was only like 4. But I loved it. You'd walk in that building and you felt like you were kind of backstage at your old high school auditorium getting ready to go on stage. Then it was just like Pee-wee's Playhouse for sports. I remember being in a meeting in Bristol shortly after I had co-hosted at PTI. And the rating that we had that particular day on PTI when I co-hosted was fairly decent for that show. And that point was raised, and they said, see, it really doesn't matter who you put in those chairs. And I remember saying to myself, oh, Lord, that is not true. This show is Mike and Tony. I just happened to sit in on a good sports day when people wanted to watch. The notion that you could just fill it in with any two people and let it go along was so short-sighted.
In fact, there was one singularly prolific guest host who wanted to test exactly how much people might miss Tony or Mike. Inside PTI, he is the man they came to know less by his name than by an adjective. Hateable.
I'm Dan Levitard, overpaid gas bag and court jester.
Dan Levitard hosted PTI 262 times. 262. And he cashed a great many ESPN paychecks from 1998 to 2021, including as the host of Highly Questionable. Dan Levitard, do you remember the first time you did PTI, what that felt like as a young person back then, trying to step into a show as a substitute host that you had watched and I presume admired?
I remember sweating profusely, and at one point a fly landed on my face, and instead of rolling with it or anything else, I just sort of paralyzed with fear, pointed at it, stayed there because, I don't know, I didn't want to move it. And so, no, I was terrible and I was scared, but I remember being thrilled that I had arrived at some sort of mountaintop.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony's so tired from doing Monday Night Football, so please say hello to Dandy Dan.
Bam, 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 bam.
Why did we do this? You know,
I think I tore this jacket.
So, your first appearance on the show, your first appearances on the show, do you remember what the fans of the show had to say about you?
What I remember is that Eric Rideholm, the producer, was like, look, nobody's going to have a chance here. We're going to beat them to the punch. It's going to be Eminem and 8 Mile. And we did beat them to the punch. But they punched harder and they punched heavier. And our first punch of, look, I know you don't want me here. We ended up sinking into that.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm the hateable Dan Levitard. Hey, Tony, what exactly makes me so hateable?
Tony Kornheiser, and hateable? Gee, that's a kind way of putting it. And I've heard repellent, loathsome, my favorite, stinko. But I love you.
I want to go back to hateable. Hateable sounds...
And I'm like, no, please, show me the most cruel stuff you got. So if you want to make fun of my eyebrows because I've got caterpillars looking to mate on my face, or you think my face is too inflated, or whatever it is. Like, I wanted them to read that stuff to me. I thought it was funny.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon, and with so much great college hoops to discuss, I can't think of a single reason you wouldn't watch our show today.
I'm the hateable Dan Levitard. I can think of one.
God, killing yourself. What is that?
It dilutes the hateability by alleging hateability.
I couldn't be more grateful to those two guys. I couldn't be more thankful to those two guys for not merely giving me permission with their pioneering to take some of the chances that I would take later in life. They were generous with their platform. This is the ego and vanity business. Not everybody is.
But speaking of ego and vanity, we explore some of the show's more humiliating bad takes and pranks and games after the break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So by this point, you've heard so many stories from so many different people about how comfortably Tony and Mike sit astride the sports television industry. But make no mistake, that comfort, it comes from confidence.
We covered all this shit, all of it for 40 years each. We've covered it. We know it better than you. That's our attitude. We know it better than you and you and you. We know it better than your show and your show and your show. That's our arrogance. That's our conceit.
So in the spirit of holding you accountable, Mike, do you think Kevin Durant is strong enough to play basketball now?
I remember saying that. What if he couldn't lift 100 and what pounds? How many pounds could he not lift?
185.
I've talked to him. I've said to him, I've talked to Kevin about it. Yeah, he's strong enough. He looks strong enough. Oh, we keep like mental checklists of people that we miss, right? Who did you? I miss Trae Young. I miss somebody more recent than Kevin Durant. I miss Trae Young.
But you can't talk about misses without venturing into maybe the darkest corner of the PTI vault. It's a corner so dark that it's almost been forgotten. Almost.
I'll give you the phrase. If Darko maxes out. If Darko Max's Out was sent by Kornheiser, as we're doing a show in anticipation of the great NBA draft, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Darko Milicic, who ya got? Kornheiser said if Darko Max's Out, I'm taking Darko. Can you believe that? Can you imagine having to live with that for the rest of your life? Well, we have it on tape. Check the tape, Tony. He took Darko. Wilbo took Melo. Nobody took LeBron. This is on tape for the rest of their lives. Oh, that is so great. That is delicious. Oh, I love that. That's my favorite error in the history of the show. And I couldn't call him out for it when it was happening in real time. But now it lives forever on film. It's great. Mwah.
We've received so many emails about the NBA draft that we've decided to spend a whole segment on it. You ready, Wilbon?
Always ready.
While the Pistons have indicated they're picking Darko, new coach Larry Brown reportedly prefers Carmelo Anthony. Which of the top three do you think will make the best pro? Best pro.
I gladly take any of the three of them, well, but I am a Carmelo Anthony guy. I believe he's a polished player already, even after only one season. He can shoot it. He can handle it. We don't know if he can play defense, but we don't know about that about the other two either. And he's 6'8".
All things,
personality. I like him.
Okay, LeBron has personality. And all things being equal, LeBron 1 year behind Carmelo in school.
Yeah.
Had LeBron come out after his junior year, people said he would have been the number one draft pick in the entire NBA. Now, I personally think that if Darko maxes out...
Ahead of Yao Ming.
If Darko maxes out, I believe he's the best of the bunch because he's fluid. He's 7 feet. You can't teach 7 feet. He could be 7'2". When it's over, he's only 17.
That's right.
What if he was Kevin Garnett?
I'd take him.
Better
I would,
and bigger.
I would take any.
Yeah. Other calls you
I may have gotten that
years.
Wrong. Darko.
Yeah, just
I may
a little.
Have gotten that wrong.
Just a little
may
bit.
Yeah.
And in all this theater of argument that Tony and Mike have built, they also sometimes turn PTI into a more literal stage. A stage where the curtain goes up and a play has begun. Because with the help of longtime producer Bonnie Burko, their costume maven and official proprietor of the Prop Closet, the guys stage these mini shows within the show, dressing up as a giant turkey, for instance, or as officers of the law.
Welcome back to the precinct. I'm Officer Kornheiser. This is Officer Wilbon. We're here to play a little good cop, bad cop. Let's get to the first suspect.
Or as real-life coaches or players.
Time to get naughty with a little role play. I will give, and Mike, you will
receive
here. Oh,
I'm going to receive first,
yes, you get the first one. Oh, you are Jimmy Connors.
Oh.
You tweeted about...
Or a psychic, complete with an electrified crystal ball.
Ah, and welcome back to America's last surviving psychic hotline.
Thank God.
Where we peer into the future to bring you answers from the great beyond. I sense the first caller.
Hey, guys, this is Anna Glenn. I want to know, do you see Antonio Brown?
So you need to understand, all the games are exactly the same. The props are different. It's just a way to get us to go back and forth with one another. It's just a device.
I hate a good cop, bad cop. I hated them all. That's just me. That stuff is to satisfy Tony. I can't think of all the games we used to have. I hated all of them, for the record.
But there is one day, every year, where Mike chooses to make a very special exception.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Joel Embiid. The producers wanted me to dress up as the Flyers mascot. I said no, because I have dignity.
Welcome to the PTI Halloween special, boys and girls. And what is so special about it? It's the same old junk, but it's in costume. But he will dress up on the Halloween show. He will do that. One time, I think on the Halloween show, I think I went as Lindsay Vaughn and he went as Tiger Woods. I thought that was very successful.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon, and for Halloween, I decided to be Tiger Woods. Too bad my girl Lindsay Vaughn ain't here.
What up, boo?
That's not exactly what I had in mind.
Really? I think I look pretty hot.
Wearing the red shirt and the hat and the whole thing. And Tiger had invited me to play in an event, his event, in Southern California. And I have a putt on 18, the last putt of the day. I don't know if it's improving my standing. But I stand over the putt, about a 15-foot putt, and drain it. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And I looked up. And this is like on December 1st. This is only like a month later. I look up, and there is Tiger Woods. And he says, and I quote, "If you're going to be me, you better make the damn putt."
But where PTI really engineers chaos is when they play it straight and just wait patiently for the calendar to turn to April 1st.
But we begin today with the stunning and shocking news that the NCAA has invalidated the last 16 seconds of Sunday's Davidson, Kansas game.
Elaborate, outrageous, entirely fake stories delivered deadpan.
And that those last 16 seconds will be played again tomorrow night in North Carolina, because a review of the tape of that game found out that Sherron Collins, who was so instrumental in closely guarding Stephen Curry at the end of the game, had already committed 5 fouls and should not have been on the floor.
And to make any of this work, you really need the diabolical poker face of a guy who says that he was never brave enough to become an actor himself, but has nonetheless April Fooled millions of Americans by this point for 2 decades. including possibly himself.
Wilbon, this is unprecedented, and to me it is unsettling, especially since the game will be moved from Detroit to Charlotte, North Carolina. I assume you are out.
You're trying to convince people that the story that you have made up actually happened. There have been times, and I can't give you chapter and verse because we've done it a lot of times. Many times I would say, this could have happened. This definitely could have happened.
When we begin today with the breaking news of a major snag in John Calipari's move to Kentucky, it is apparently off. And here is the jaw dropper. Rick Pitino apparently has the job. Just this morning, as Calipari was appearing at a press conference in Lexington, Pitino was reportedly working the back.
Once or twice I've said, I think this did happen. And they say, no, we made this up this morning. I say, you sure? Because I think maybe I heard this. And they go, no, it didn't happen. And then you can sell it. Particularly if you believe it could happen or you believe it did happen, you can sell it. It's pretty easy.
If you believe it could happen, you can sell it. I mean, that's a pretty good summary of how PTI turned this bizarre television experiment, as Wilbon called it on day one, into an institution that could be serious and journalistic, but also the exact opposite, becoming indispensable to even the stars, the big names that Tony and Mike would lampoon on the show. That is episode 3. And I'll talk to you then.